From the KTOO newsroom in Juneau, I'm Jennifer Pemberton. A brown bear in Anchorage has been killed after breaking into the Alaska Zoo and killing an alpaca, according to a statement from the zoo. Caesar, a 16-year-old alpaca, died Saturday night, the zoo said. Caesar's companion, a younger alpaca named Fuzzy Charlie Kozak, escaped the bear and was found, quote, wide-eyed elsewhere in the zoo, according to Jill Meyer, the zoo's development director. The brown bear had apparently been causing trouble in the surrounding neighborhood by rummaging through trash at night and had flipped trash bins at the zoo trying to get inside, according to Anchorage area fish and game biologist Dave Battle. That was a problem, he said, because brown bears will sometimes try to protect a food source, including trash, and can attack people. Battle said the bear dug under a chain-link fence on the zoo's northwest corner and walked several hundred yards while inside the zoo before it attacked and killed the alpaca. Zoo staff reinforced the fence where the bear had broken in, and Battle said Fish and Game and Alaska wildlife troopers staked out the area Sunday night waiting for the bear to return. It did. It came back to the same spot in the fence Sunday night, but there was too much vegetation around the fence outside of the zoo to safely shoot it. It came back Monday night, though, and that's when a fish and game biologist was able to shoot and kill the bear. This is not the first time a bear has broken into the zoo. A bear nicknamed Trouble broke in during the early 1990s, and another time a bear climbed a tree close to the fence and got in. Zoo staff were able to shoo that bear away. A resident of the northwest Arctic village of Kayana has tested positive for COVID-19, local officials confirmed. Village tribal president Eli Cyrus says the person who tested positive had been coming back from Red Dog Mine. He says the mine has put in new testing mandates.
Positive at Red Dog, and I guess the results of the test on the third day was delayed, so they were allowed to come back to Kayana. And 2 days after they arrived in Kayana, the positive test was actually confirmed, so they were in the community for a couple days.
For months, Tech, the operator of the mine, suspended travel from Red Dog to regional village communities, but they lifted that restriction on Monday. People leaving Red Dog are now required to take 2 COVID-19 tests with a 3-day isolation in between them. Cyrus says the individual and their family immediately went into medical isolation, and the local school has moved back into the red or high-risk zone, says Cyrus. That means schooling will be entirely remotely. Cyrus says the tribal council is asking that Red Dog temporarily suspend flights into Kayana as the mine continues their new testing protocols.
And with this one that kind of slipped through, I guess, we just ask that they hold off on for a week or so on allowing travelers back in until they can kind of update what their testing standards is.
There are currently 21 active cases of COVID-19 at the Red Dog mine. Thousands of students in the Mat-Su Borough School District have been attending class in person for just over a month now. And the district superintendent, principals, and teachers say it's going better than expected. There have been COVID-19 cases. They say they planned for that. But as Alaska Public Media's Tegan Hanlon reports, they say the cases have been caught early, and it doesn't appear that the virus has spread through school buildings.
Teacher Kelly Morozik is wearing a cloth face mask at Denina Elementary School near Wasilla as she asks her room of 16 first grade students a math question.
Would we use this sign, or this sign if we want to add them together?
One student, Wayne, who's sitting on the carpet in front of her, says to add, you use a plus sign.
Very good. Elbows, Wayne. Very nice.
Morozik and Wayne bump elbows. That's the school during the coronavirus version of a high five.
Sometimes we even do like a shoe bump where we do a toe tap or a happy dance. I do a lot of air high fives from across the room. So, you know, give me an air high five from where you're at.
Morozik describes the school year so far as amazing. She says she's happy to be back in the building, and she says so are her students. The Mat-Su Borough School District is the state's largest school district to welcome students back to in-person classes this fall. The school year started in late August.
You know, when those kids were coming back that first week, I remember saying, well, here goes the big experiment.
That's Mat-Su School Superintendent Randy Traney. The district has about 18,000 students. Traney says those students could opt to continue school online this fall or return to school buildings. About 65% chose in-person classes, and so far, Traney says,
I think it's going better than we probably could have hoped.
Traney says that's because of a lot of community support, a lot of planning, and
we do have a huge advantage, right? Community spread in the Mat-Su Valley, is low compared to many other spots in the country. Geographically, we're spread out over a large, large area.
The school district has publicly announced about 10 known COVID-19 infections and had to temporarily shut down about 6 schools. That means students have to do their work online, from home, for a day or more. Trainey says the district expected that and planned for it. He says what he's most happy about is that there's no evidence yet that COVID-19 has spread within Mat-Su schools. He says that shows the district's plan is working. That plan includes keeping students in contained groups and not sharing classroom supplies. Also, all teachers and staff, plus students in grades 3 through 12, must wear face masks.
When you walk through the schools, it really just hasn't been an issue. Kids are willing to wear their masks.
At Denina Elementary, 11-year-old Island Swalling says wearing a mask at school is pretty okay.
And, you know, sometimes if you do like gym or something, your mask does get a little sweaty, but other than that, it hasn't been too weird.
Overall, she says she loves being back at school.
When you're like in person, you know, if there's something you don't get, your teacher's there to kind of help you understand it. Plus, when you're at home, you don't really want to like sit up straight in a chair. You just kind of want to sit in your PJs on your bed.
Dr. Elizabeth Olson with the State Health Department is working closely with schools to set up coronavirus mitigation plans. She says the department has been watching whether reopening Mat-Su schools has impacted the number of new coronavirus cases in the region. And so far, it hasn't seen a rise. Olson says she's been impressed. Moving forward, the most significant obstacle will be keeping up the current level of vigilance, she says.
I think the huge thing that's looming for Mat-Su is the thing that's looming for all of us. It's COVID fatigue. Everybody is sick of this. And we all want things to go back to normal.
But until then, she says, face masks, social distancing, and hand washing in schools and outside of them are key. In Anchorage, I'm Tegan Hanlon.
The town of Bethel buzzed with excitement after 2 F-16 fighter jets made an emergency landing at the airport Tuesday night. KYUK's Christy Schallenberger spoke with one person who saw it all happen.
Steve Carr was checking on a few airplanes parked next to the Bethel Air Traffic Tower.
So I was checking on a Cessna 140 and a Stenson and a Mooney.
When
I hear that unmistakable sound of a jet fighter, you know, on approach.
Carr watched 2 F-16 Fighting Falcons dip low toward the runway.
Once the guy was safely on the ground, his partner was on the ground, he kept going, flew basically right over the tower, and then he put himself in a holding pattern over the airstrip, and that's what everybody in town heard.
Carr says he just happened to have a handheld aviation radio on him, and he tuned in to listen to the air controller direct the surprise F-16s, and several other aircraft trying to come in.
You know, it's that time of day. They're just coming in from every direction. So he had all these guys put them all in the holding patterns for this emergency.
That means several planes flew in circles above the tundra as they waited for their turn to land. So where did those F-16s come from? They belong to the 354th Fighter Wing, stationed at the Fort Eielson Air Force Base in Fairbanks. That's according to a spokesperson who says one of the F-16s had to make an emergency landing in Bethel after returning from a military exercise in the Asia-Pacific region. None of the pilots were injured. Carr says Bethel residents lined up in their cars or drove down Tower Road to check out the F-16s.
When I was leaving the airstrip coming down Hoffman Highway, I saw about a dozen cars pulled off at the north end of the airstrip where you can look off the highway right down the airstrip there.
The Eielson Air Force Base spokesperson says the mechanics are on their way to Bethel to repair the fighter jets. For KYUK News, I'm Christy Schallenberger.
Alaskans can expect a slightly colder than usual winter this year if predictions of a La Nina event hold out. The National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration issued a La Nina advisory last week.
And when we have a La Nina, more times than not, Alaska is on the cold side of that.
That's climate researcher Brian Bretschneider with the National Weather Service. He says La Nina events typically involve less precipitation over a winter, but lower temperatures often play a big role in the production of snow. And Bretschneider says temperatures seem to be the most affected.
So if we had to pick one or the other, temperature or precipitation, that is most likely to be impacted by a La Nina, we would say the temperature is more likely to show a response to those conditions.
Meantime, the extent of Arctic sea ice recently measured at its second lowest on record. Brett Schneider says that is partially to blame for winter starting later and ending earlier. This is KTOO News.